see you tomorrow.
Not one of these nights. You can let me.
He's sexy. I like you. A lot.
Your brother fell asleep in homeroom this morning for the third time in the past week.
Where's mom?
Someone keeps on coming over.
Her
name's Diana.
What did you say?
Hi, mom.
Hey, you want to talk about it?
They've been sleeping with the lights on. Every time I turn them off, there's this woman. She doesn't like the light.
I know. I see her too.
Yay, another cheap-ass horror film in the summer. Yay, that's just what the summer needs. Maybe it is, though, especially if it's good. Talking about Lights Out. Talking about Mr. David F. Sandberg, the man who, I think this is his first time really directing a feature full-length film to the big screen here with that little bit of money behind them. This should probably cost like $2 million, probably, if even that. But he's here after his short he did back in 2013, which Cody was right. I have seen it. I remember seeing it because I tried to rewatch it. I was like, oh, yeah, I have seen this. Lehu sent it to me. And he finally gets his film. A couple of years later, it's won awards. I forgot which film festivals they were. It was highly talked of. It was praised. That short was creepy and atmospheric. It had all the elements of a good short. And it was almost like a testing ground to see if we can get a movie made out of it. Well, a couple of years later passed. Warner Brothers said, let's get a hold of this. Let's go ahead and make a movie. We can make money off of it because what studio ain't saying, yeah, give me your horror property because I'm easily going to make some money off of it. And guess what? I don't have to spend shit on it either. And the marketing is so easy to market because it's literally just me turning a fucking light switch off. So, yes, that brings us to here. We got Teresa Palmer playing Rebecca. She's a tattoo artist, and I've only picked that up because she's living in a tattoo shop or an apartment above a tattoo shop. I'm just going ahead and go with that. She got a lot of designs on her wall, so that's where I'm running with. And she's fucking this hot-ass dude, which I have no idea who that was, to be honest. I think it was Brett, played by Alexander DePersia. I'm going to fuck that guy's name all up, which sucks because, god damn, that boy is fine. I'll give him that. That boy is fine. He's in good shape. And guess what? He's actually funny and entertaining, and you actually like him. Usually you hate boyfriends in the fucking horror movies, but you like him. Rebecca, she's not little. She doesn't like, let's just say, she's got some connection problems. Let's just say that. Yeah, I'll go with that. She's afraid of commitment, if you will. Because this guy's like trying his best. You kind of rooting for me. You're like, man, that girl is fine. And we everybody knows Teresa Palmer, she ain't no ugly looking girl in here. If anything, if you know her, she's from I Am Number 4, Sorcerer Apprentice, and that zombie movie she did with Nicholas Hoult, Warm Bodies, yeah. And that girl is fine, like the hotter Kristen Stewart, if you will. And she's just throwing this guy off, but then, you know, he plays a bigger role in the film. Well, not a bigger role, but he's bringing a side character that comes back a lot. And one day, she gets a call from her brother. Well, her brother's in the nurse's office. He's like, he fucking tired. He's like, I can't sleep and shit. Look, mom doing some weird ass shit. And it opens up with that scene out of the trailer with their dad getting killed by that thing where they're working in the warehouse or whatever. Which, by the way, was the weirdest fucking warehouse ever. I was like, what kind of warehouse has these dimly lit lights like this that only goes in a straight line? It's a factory, bruh. Just turn the fucking main switch on. Jesus Christ. He gets killed. Mother's in depression mode again. And son, who's played by Gabriel Bateman, plays Martin in here. He just like, I can't sleep. Look, I heard mom talking to somebody the other night, and I love this kid. This kid was amazing. And that's me saying that because the look on his face whenever mom says, she says it on like 3 times, oh, we're just talking. And she's talking about this little demon bitch or whatever, Dirty Diana. And the kid is like, huh? Fuck you talking about, mom? You smoking that shit again? So Teresa or Rebecca picks up Martin. Next you know it, we find out that Rebecca and the mother, who's played by Maria Bello, plays Sophie in here. We kind of find out that they have a little outing because Rebecca kind of left her. I guess it was after she believed her father to run away on them. I guess she kind of just fell apart from her mother and just decided to leave her as well. Rebecca's like, I'm taking Martin with me. He's living. She's like, no, you're not taking my son. Clearly, child services is involved with this. You can't take the kid away because the mother is the legal guardian, and the mother seems fine. Little be known, though, Diane, who's played by Alicia Avella Bailey, which I don't even know why they... Okay, they could have just made that, to save money. I was going to say, you can make that a CG character. I don't even know why it had to be a fucking person. She's in the fucking shadows the whole damn time. But, they could have just hired a crackhead, to be honest. She's like, nah, I'm not feeling this Martin bitch right here. She's like, matter of fact, I ain't feeling your daughter Rebecca neither, whatever. It just needs to be me and you. And for the rest of the movie, it's mainly this Diane chick haunting these the Rebecca and Martin, pretty much trying to kill them. See, she don't want them in the picture no more because they're trying to make her mother feel good. And whenever the mother starts to feel good, Diane ain't having that shit. Diane pretty much feeds off the negative conscience of their mother, pretty much. That's why Diane killed her husband, which was Martin's dad, is because she says in the movie, your father always made me feel safe and protected and happy and stuff like that. So basically, Diane is just the ultimate lesbian girlfriend who just turned stalker to creepy to pretty much a homicidal maniac. And that's what I got up. I was like, Diane is clingy. Can't let a bitch go. We start to learn more a little bit about Diane later when Teresa Palmer's character gets more involved, where you start to learn that, so her mother was in a mental institute and Diane was there as well too, and she had like these burn scars and stuff like that. She had like a horrible skin disease, if you will. And they said that, Diane was either evil or something was wrong with her, but she got inside the people's heads at this medical clinic and stuff, and they said she just clinged to Sophie in here, their mother. And next thing you know it, they tried an experiment on Diane, and it went terribly wrong. They killed this bitch, and all you saw was a black-ass, dirty silhouette in a chair, an electric chair and shit. And they was like, oh, my God. Only to be known that Diane came back, and it's only when Sophie is, like, really depressed and miserable and shit like that. So, basically, the movie kind of sums it up as if Sophie has some kind of mental control of Diane. And I think that was probably a cool aspect of the film. I don't know how some people might take that, because movie spoilers here, people. Spoiler alert, like I said, Sophie ends up shooting herself in the head at the end of the film because she pretty much says, which, by the way, I kind of saw coming. I'm not going to lie. I was like, look, the only way to put this down is you got to put the mother down. I mean, shit, she's haunting the mother. Mother got to go then. And Sophie ends up shooting herself. And that's where you kind of go like, oh, okay, so is this some Alice in Wonderland shit where it's just all in her head? But then again, how could it be when the rest of these characters are feeling that pain as well, too, that Diane was bringing? Now, I'm going to go ahead and say that I like this film. Wow, another horror film that I actually liked. This had James Wan as producer on here, main producer as well, writers Erica Heiserer and David Sandberg as well, who wrote the short, like I said, and directed this film. And although I like this film, let me go ahead and get the negatives out the way. Although I like this film, I don't think the movie had that extra to make me want to recommend people go run out and see this. In the shorter term, it felt like one of these cheap-ass, generic horror films that we constantly keep seeing. But I think this one is better than those. It's just because, maybe it was because, no, it's not because it's shorter. They're all kind of short. But it had a technique about itself with characters that you actually give a damn about. And people that we actually know from other stuff, actors and actresses and stuff like that. Not some fucking actors they just found off a set of a music video or something. And they do a really good job on setting up this premise and this world and stuff like that. But once again, there was never that, that makes me want to rush out and pay to see this again. I think that this movie works better watched at home, but then I don't want to degrade my rating on it when I give that later. Another thing too that I had negative is that some of the premise here not so much Supreme, but the movie kind of breaks its own rules in a way. Like, maybe I can give it a pass, but look, I don't know the lore of this movie or this or not, or I don't even know if the director knew this, but there's parts in this movie where, towards the end of the movie too, where they are able, shut the fuck up, phone, please, where they're able to hurt the ghost, if you will, when they get the backlight. The black light, I mean. And you can see the cum stains and all that shit. That's what, I ain't gonna lie, I thought that's what that was on those mannequins. I was like, what the fuck is all that on their face right there? Oh, that's disgusting. Dad was fucking these mannequins down here. And they get the backlight, and they're flashing on the demon. She doesn't disappear in the backlight, because apparently that light just doesn't work on her. But then they would turn a regular light on her, and it would burn her skin and it deteriorate her. Now, I got a theory, because I noticed that that didn't happen when the other lights was turned on the rest of the movie, that she just kept vanishing whenever a light went on. I got a theory, maybe that's why her skin was fucked up in the first. No, that can't be, though, because she didn't get these powers until after they killed her, so that doesn't make any damn sense, so never mind about that then. Bam! Throw that out the garage. What the fuck was that noise I just made? Throw that theory out the garage. But maybe it's the backlight that kept her in the presence in order to hurt her. I'm just assuming, throwing things out here. It was kind of weird as shit. I didn't really have that much of a problem with it. Maybe some people will. Maybe some won't. I don't. Maybe they have a better theory than I do. I'm not the horror expert here, but I try. Another thing, too, is the lights itself. Now, there were some scenes where that girl was behind a closet door and the light was already on and they still heard, like, noises being made. And I was sitting there going like, okay, look, either the girl comes out when the damn lights are out or not. Well, what the hell? Make up your, either you're going to wear your glasses or you're not. Make up your mind. I should not be cracking Bill Cosby's joke, but that man is innocent, I think. Either way, though, this movie broke some rules in this way. And then the third problem, the main problem I have of the fucking film, is it has jump scares like a motherfucker. I'm talking like a motherfucker. Not a motherfucker, but a motherfucker. And I'm talking about throughout the whole fucking film, it was jump scares. They weren't jump scares where they annoyed the shutty, but there was just jump scares after jump scares. And it was just like, either you're going to move the damn thing or you're not. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Please stop with the fucking jump scares. It was literally every second. Whenever the fucking lights go out, this happened. And when eventually it came out to really goddamn nothing, because nobody fucking dies in the film except for the dad at the beginning and the mother shooting herself. But other than that, oh, and I guess the cops that showed up at the end of the film, but they deserved it. They probably was looking for some minority or something like that, so they probably deserved what they got. Either way, though, the jump scare stuff just got old. It was just like, okay, either you're going to do something or not. What the hell are you going to do? By the way, what I like about the movie now is the acting. The acting on everyone's part is great. If anything, I have to say about the acting, the worst one in here, and I'm not even going to say worst, some tidbits that she did, Teresa Palmer, she kind of had this deer in the headlights look. Granted, maybe that's what her character is supposed to do because, well, she's dealing with some shit she kind of known for. But she kind of accepted it right away. They didn't go through this whole lore of, kind of like The Conjuring 2, that, oh, this shit isn't real or anything like that. You know, she kind of believed it right away and noticed it and felt the presence of it and just went along with it. But yet, even still, there were some times where she still had that deer in the headlight look. And that's probably where the Kristen Stewart comparison comes into, because she was looking kind of batshit confused at times. I can give that kind of a pass, whatever. But nonetheless, I think she still did a great job. The kid in here, Martin, Gabriel Bateman, I thought he did a fantastic job. He sold it. He wasn't annoying. And I even liked that he braved up at the end of it. He had to tell Teresa Palmer. He's just like, no. He's like, whatever problems you have with mom, whatever, she's still our mother. We need to protect her. We have to stay here for her and shit. And I was like, wow. I don't know how old this kid is. I'm assuming 7, 8 maybe. But he buckled up and braved up. I was like, okay, I like him now. I liked him before then. He wasn't terrible. The boyfriend, Alexander, he was charming. I liked him. And not because he looked good. And he had abs of steel. And a nice fucking car. And a nice pair of boots. And wore that leather jacket really well. And that facial hair that only a woman could scream for, or a guy such as myself. And plus, he had nice socks. But either way, though, that guy was funny as hell, and he was entertaining, especially when the shit starts to break loose in the third act. and the ghost is chasing his ass or whatever the hell this thing is, and he's like running outside, he's kind of screaming or whatever, and the ghost drags him into the shadow and shit, and he just finds clever ways of how to put a light on or something like that, and it was really good. So first he had a flashlight, takes the flashlight with the batteries went out, some shit like that. That's a fucking trope I'm sick of too in the horror films. Technological convenience, when technology and shit just dies out of fucking, you ain't use the damn thing all day, whatever shit, and all of a sudden it just fucking dies. Flashlights stop working and shit. It's like, okay, I know that we need to have these things shut off just for the premise of this movie to work, but damn, I saw a shitty ass Paranormal Activity movie where they had a fucking Xbox on all day and a goddamn Apple computer all on night and not a single drop of battery on that bitch. So don't sit up here and tell me flashlights and shit go out in a matter of fucking 2 minutes. And candles for that fucking matter too. So but he did some funny shit where he pulled his cell phone out and used the light and the ghost ran away, and then the ghost stretched that shit out of his hand, picked his ass up, and then he took out his car keys and he hit his car alarm and the lights blared him and just dropped him out the sky and shit. He had a nice little fun segment. I mean, it was pretty laughable too. I think that's probably another problem with the movie too. I don't think it's creepy at all. I think the short just had a little bit more creep to it. I'm not a fan of it. I mean, I'm not scared of things like that or whatever, so I didn't even find the short that scary. But you know, I took my sister and some of her basketball teammates to the screening. I mean, you know, I got 17, 18 year old girls with me. And they were laughing the whole way through. And I was so proud of them because I was like, oh, it's not just me that laughs at these shitty-ass horror films. Not to say that this movie is shitty or anything like that. But we recognize bullshit now. And we just laugh at it. And I think that's another problem. It's not scary at all. I mean, the atmosphere, even though it's there, I don't think the creep factor is there. It's just because it's just another fucking bitch that just scratching her nails on the floor and, you know, twerking out and shit like that, or whatever the hell she's tweaking and her stretching arms and ligaments are folding up and stuff, you know. And it's just like, whatever, you know. I would have just turned the light on, and if I'd have saw that, I'd have been like, all right, I'm gonna pretend I just didn't see that and take my ass right back to bed immediately. But they were all laughing at it, and I was laughing too. And even at the third act, it got kind of comical as well. But it was entertaining, I gotta say the least. The third act really did kick it off. I don't know if I was satisfied with the ending. I don't think the payoff of that was, it was whatever. I was just like, it's enjoyable. Yeah, I'm fine here. I kind of wish I would have saw this, like I was saying earlier, would have saw this at home, though. I was like, maybe that would have had more effect on me. I still would have been laughing at most of this stuff, but I mean, some people are probably going to like this, but I just don't feel right telling you to go, rush out and see this. Go spend your money. Go spend your 12 whatever dollars, how much this costs, when I can just tell you, you can rent it for $4.99 when it hits the HD versions and stuff on iTunes and all that. So I'm like, I'm trying to think what else. The mother in here, she did a great job, because not only is this a horror movie, it has some great drama in here. And the drama in here, too, is that, you know, the mother, she's kind of just like on this loop of just, you know, she was depressed. She suffered from depression. And she brings up a lot how her daughter, Rebecca, just left her. She's like, you left me alone. I'm all alone. And now she's like, I did the same thing to Diana, and I can't do that no more. I can't leave people behind, and I don't want to leave my friends behind. She's here for me. And you can really feel the psychotic emphasis on her that's ran on her, and it really got into some deep stuff, which I really actually liked that conversation. There was a lot of good dialogue, conversational moments back and back, especially when the mother really got involved and they tried to explain to her that you brought this ghost in our house. And Rebecca, it almost sounds like she's coming out of anger just because of, you know, the fact that her father left, and I'm assuming she's blaming the mother's fault. Which you can kind of tell, once again, because this movie is very predictable. You can kind of tell the father didn't leave. That ghost killed your father. I mean, there was even a scene, too, in the movie that I didn't know what it was. But I'm assuming it was Rebecca's character as a child. And she was drawing a mommy, daddy, me photo. And then that photo vanishes. What the fuck did I just say? Vanish. And then she finds it in the closet with a light on, by the way. And dad is crossed out in black marker, and then it's Diane draws herself in the middle of the girls, and they're just like, okay, wait a minute, hold on. So you've had experiences with this ghost too, then, what you telling us? What the fuck? What? Okay. It's like, wait a minute. So this didn't blow your mind as a child, too? What does this ghost do? It just comes whenever the fuck it feels like? So you may tell me, I don't know how old Rebecca was at that time. She looked like she could have been the same age as her brother. But then we fast forward, I'm assuming 20 years later, that this fucking thing's been haunting them for 20 years, and it's just starting now to break out. Which, mind you, if it was over, because this Rebecca's in here playing like a damn near a fucking mid-20-year-old, 25 to 29 or something like that. And if her stepfather and them was married, you know, since Martin was born or whatever, damn, so what the hell? That he's now noticing this shit. I don't know, whatever. I'm thinking too hard into this film. Look, it's a cool horror film. It's cool. It blew my mind. It impressed me that I was actually enjoying it. No, Conjuring 2 kind of did that. I don't know if it's just because they had a little bit more money behind it, but I was more impressed with that film. I don't know, maybe because that was the first horror movie I've seen in a while that I enjoyed that was like straight horror, you know, besides like Krampus and all that, had a lot of comedy and stuff. Even though these movies are very funny as hell too, even though they're unintentional laughs, I would assume they are, because when you're a horror film, you should be striving for horror. But, you know, even at an hour and 25 minutes, I think there was even some parts that kind of just a little bit dragged with, because I was like, okay, it's kind of repetitive and stuff. I mean, this movie probably would have been perfect as an hour. I think it's perfect as that short. This is just an expansion of the short, and it just goes to show you that, all right, well, you got something here, but don't go any further with it no more now. I enjoyed myself. I wasn't thoroughly entertained where I was like in the edge of my seat. You know, I thought I really got entertained towards the third act. It just didn't have that in it, like, I guess, like Conjuring 2, that makes me want to tell people, even at a matinee price, go ahead and spend your money. Even though a matinee might be $7, I'm having a hard time here, if y'all not gonna lie. I'm like, low see it, high rent it area. I'm going in that area towards it, as I did like the characters. And you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna go ahead. Low see it. I'm giving it a low see it. I was gonna go high rent because I was like, I think this movie is better at home. I think it's a lot better. I think you can get really lost in here. But you know what? Being a horror film, being a shitty summer, I'm going to give it just that extra little bit of notch. Being such a shitty summer, I'm going to give it that extra notch and just say, you know what? I enjoyed the film. Do I want to watch it again? Nah, not really. Do I want to rush out in theater and see it again? Nah, not really. If it came on, though, and I was doing stuff, you know, I would leave it on that channel. I give it a low C. I think if you went and watched this, you'd be no harm, no foul. You'd just be like, oh, okay, that was cool. Whatever. You'll probably forget about it. It's nothing interesting at all. Nothing fantastic. Nothing that's going to really blow your mind. But, you know, if you were a group of people, you just want to go check out a flick. You've seen Star Trek already fucking 20 times. You've seen Ghostbusters. You've seen Secret Life of Pets. Civil War is about to come out on Blu-ray. You want to see something new. You want to see something low budget. You probably want to get a little few scares in there. I think this movie would do just fine. I'm going low see it. And I'm comfortable with that rating just because I did like the characters in this film. I like the acting in here. That's always an appreciative thing to have, and especially in these horror films. And that's probably one of my main problems I have with horror films is they just throw any random people in those films. They don't have characters, nothing like that. And here, I think they delivered on it. And the best part, obviously, was it was that kid. The reaction on his face was just like, the fuck y'all talking? Most of the movie, he was like, what the fuck y'all talking about? So the next time you put some ghosts in a movie or something like that, this scene just got to happen every time now.
Did we wake you?
What? 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 That confusion on his face was damn near priceless, okay? This movie cost $2. The look on that kid's face, priceless.
Huh? What's up? Did we wake you? What? I want to tell you a story. Long time ago. I had a friend named Diana. I found out something really bad happened to her. But she came back. She's gonna stay. As long as you keep the lights out. Everyone is afraid of the dark, and that's what she feeds on.